So as you know, I've been preaching in Ephesians, and now I'm in chapter 3, 1 through 13, and I'm on you being created by God to be his wisdom made manifest. This is part of your purpose. So listen along as I read what Paul wrote, 3, 1 through 13. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, the nations of the world that are not Israelites, Hebrews, Jews, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by revelation, this is very important, there was made known to me the mystery, the secret, as I wrote before in brief. So he wrote about it. And so by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his set apart apostles, Paul, and prophets in the Spirit, Paul, and those Paul taught. To be specific, that the Gentiles, the non-Jews, are fellow heirs, inheritors, and fellow members of the body, that's the body of Christ, and fellow partakers of the promise in Messiah. Always recognize Christ is Messiah, and there's a huge Jewish understanding. You got to put your mind back then when the apostles were writing these things. So Gentiles are now part of Messiah. So the promise in Messiah of Christ Jesus through the gospel, the good news, which is God coming, Jesus the Messiah coming, dying on a cross for sins, raising from the dead, by grace you're saved. This is the good news of which I was made a minister, he says, according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me, Paul, according to the working of God's power, his power. And this grace was given to me, the very least of all those who are set apart by God, to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery, again, mystery, the secret, which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things. So God always had it. So that the manifold, multipurposed, multifaceted wisdom of God would now be made known through the church, that's the called out and gathered ones, that's what ecclesia means, to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. Now that's interesting. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. The eternal plan, the eternal purpose. He already had the plan, eternal, eternal. That's more than everlasting. Okay, something can start right now and be everlasting, but something that's eternal goes both ways, every way. Always know that. Then he says, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. It's always salvation by grace through faith, always. Therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, the Gentile Christians, the Ephesians, for all these things that he goes through, they are your glory. Now, prepare your heart for this sermon. You are God's wisdom made manifest. Let's pray. Father, we need to understand being your wisdom made manifest, the secret, the mystery being revealed, and we're part of it, and you love us, and you want us to know that we are and that you do. Help us to take this in and learn it and be it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Help me to preach properly. Amen. Preach properly, accurately, in Jesus' name as well. Amen. Amen. So God's wisdom, we can tell, is expressed in his creation. And his wisdom fingerprints are just everywhere. So even though you don't see God with your eyes, it's like recognizing, when you look around, an artistic designer and a craftsman, and you recognize him by his works. But sometimes God's wisdom is not recognized, and sometimes it's hidden. It is hidden as a mystery. And when the mystery is revealed, we have an opening in our eyes, whether physical or spiritual. What happens is more amazing dimensions of God's wisdom just become apparent, and it blows us away. Amen. And now God's hidden wisdom has been revealed, and it's very important. It's one of the most important truths that exists, and it's seen in spiritually saving huge parts of the world that were separated from him. Nations, and this is why it's so amazing and interesting, the secret, nations outside the Abrahamic, the Mosaic, and the Davidic promises, the covenants. So once separated from God's promises, they become citizens of God's household by grace through faith in Christ. That's the way to be brought into this relationship. That's the secret revealed. And God makes all of his people then in this whole mystery understanding into a temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, you think about being a Jew in those days, or at any time, even now, and think, you want to build this temple in Jerusalem, you want to have a temple in Jerusalem, and God's saying, no, the temple already exists, and it's all in my people that are Christians, and they are both Jews and Gentiles. This is an amazing thing. And so what he says here is that we are God's household, his dwelling on earth. This is the context coming into this. So what we become is the body of Christ. It's amazing that we are all of these things. The body of Christ. There is so much depth to that, it's beyond poetic. And what it is, it's mystery talk. And this mystery talk was revealed to demonstrate God's secret wisdom. Now, pointing to what he just wrote, this is what he does. Paul says, for this reason, and what was that? Of non-Israelites, non-Jews, non-Hebrews, being called to be fellow citizens and a part of God's household, Paul is reminding us of God's care for the people that he rescues. God cares for you. It's a planned care. It's a committed care. It's a real care. It's a self-sacrificing on the cross care. And at 1:3-5, Paul said, God bless you with every spiritual blessing. Well, how much? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, in his care. And it says that God chose you. Now, you got to think about yourselves when you get these scriptures. He chose you. That's you. In Christ before the foundation of the world. That's what he says. And God did it for a reason, so that you would be set apart and blameless before him. You can't make yourself blameless, by the way. Only Christ can do it. And it says, in his own love, God predestined you to adoption through Jesus Christ to himself. This is what I just read this morning. In his own love, God predestined you to adoption through Jesus Christ to himself. Take this in. And he did this according, this is beautiful, the kind intention of his will, of his determination. Anytime you see will in the Bible, it's determination. And you are told God is wise, but more. You are being told that he has wise love. You get this? And it's for you. This God's wise love, he cares for you, okay? And Paul knew that God cares for Paul, and Paul knows that God's care for him relates to all of us. And so Paul says this next, for that reason of non-Israelites and non-Jews, non-Hebrews, being called to be fellow citizens as part of God's household, that's what we are. He says, I, Paul, am a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of you people from all the nations. Now, by saying that he's a prisoner of Jesus Christ at this point, Paul was pointing to more than being a prisoner for Christ. Yes, he was a prisoner for Christ. But, interesting, if you read this in the Greek, we're not all Greek-reading people, but the genitive case shows that Paul says here he's Christ Jesus' prisoner, not a prisoner of Rome. And what he means is Jesus owns him. You know, he's imprisoned by him. He's captured. He's in chains for Jesus. This is wisdom, by the way. This is the wisdom of God. And this wisdom also applies to you and this reality. You are a prisoner of Christ Jesus, which is a blessing. It's not a bad thing. You want to be a prisoner of Christ Jesus. It's God's wisdom, love, and his care for you. That's how he manifested it. He captured you. That's what Paul was getting to. He captured Paul, right? When we were against God, when we were so wretched and sinful, he still captured us to make us his prisoner. That's salvation. That's the rescue. You can't break out of the prison now and go become unsaved. You want to be God's prisoner. Yes. And God's wisdom love was seen in choosing Paul and then forging him into this instrument to do God's will. He does that for you. Not exactly like Paul, but God's choosing and using wisdom. Let's call it that. Choosing and using wisdom. It's the same way that he deals with all of us. You were recreated by the Lord. He purchased you on the cross. Amen. And it was solely in his wisdom love. It was by his grace, which is undeserved favor. And through embracing it, you've been made into a part of the body of Christ to be his prisoner and his servant, to serve him as his prisoner. Sounds oppressive, but it's the most freeing, beautiful, life-giving thing that you can possibly have. Amen. And in Paul's unique calling, he said it was for this. For the stewardship. Okay, now stewardship means to have a supervisory job of responsibility to take care of something. And back in those days, the house steward was the head slave of the household. He was the steward. This is Paul. He's a prisoner. He's the head slave. He's got a stewardship in God's kingdom at this time in history. So he said it was for the stewardship, and listen to this, of God's grace, which was given to me, Paul, for you Gentiles, because he was a Jew, Hebrew. So now he's given this revelation, this secret revealed that by revelation, he says that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery as I wrote beforehand in brief. Okay, well, what was the great reveal that Paul wrote about beforehand briefly? Well, that revelation of the mystery was mentioned in a couple chapters before in 1:8 through 10. That's what he's talking about that he mentioned briefly. And here's what it is. He said this, in all wisdom and insight. You are God's wisdom, by the way. In all wisdom and insight, God made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in Christ with a view to an implementation of the plan suitable at the fullness of the times. That is, this is so beautiful, because this is it. This is the essence of everything with Paul. The summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens, and things on earth. So that earlier mention of the mystery is that all things are summed up now in Christ Jesus. Reconciliation, forgiveness, I mean, you name it. Inheritance. All the things of context are prophecies and promises and all that. It's all summed up in him. You got salvation, forgiveness, favor from God. Summing you up in Christ is your co-identity with Christ. And you know that, right? When you're summing you up in Christ is your co-identity with him. It's you in Christ with Christ in you. And this is the mystery revealed. You get it from Paul the Apostle. And when you follow what Paul said, what you know is that you are blessed beyond what you can imagine. You have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in him. It's not about you. You were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world to be set apart and blameless in Christ, by God's hand. And you were adopted by God through Christ. And then when it says the mystery of God's will was revealed, it's in Christ. You have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of your trespasses. See? So if I ask you, what is the mystery revealed? You should know what it is. It's the summing up of all the things of God's wisdom plan in Christ. And you are part of his plan. So when it says here now in 3:4, by referring to this, when you read, you can understand Paul's insight into the mystery of Christ. Well, the Lord is speaking layers of wisdom to us. And one is your call to be reading the Word of God. I want us to notice this, especially New Covenant apostolic revelation. You study Paul's epistles, you will know more about theology than some of the brightest, biggest, greatest, most famous theologians. More, I'm telling you. Amen. And it says, here's what it says here. When you read. You got that? This is what he says. So you are called to read God's word. When you read, you're going to understand, he says. So because if you don't, you're going to miss God's wisdom. You will miss what Paul's talking about when he says, referring to this. When you read and referring to this, you won't even know what he was writing beforehand in brief. You're not going to know. And when you read, make sure that you understand the wisdom. God chose people like you before the foundation of the world to get praise. He wants to get praise for his undeserved favor through the wisdom plan of doing it all in his son, Christ Jesus. And so when you get this, you are seeing the complex, created, multifaceted wisdom of God. And the reveal is meant to make you wise also. You get that? The reveal is meant to make you wise. It's not just interesting information. It's life. Now, there are a lot of different things that Christians believe, various things. So much teaching going on everywhere. Okay, so a lot of it is junk, and we can complain, but a lot of it's good. But here's the thing. You can hardly hear anything about this mystery revelation. And it should be dwelt upon. It should be focused upon. It should be the main thing. It's meant to be put at the forefront, and we are meant to teach all the other things, okay? But when we put this at the forefront, it does things like it focuses on the righteousness of Christ being imputed to you already. because it's about him in you and you in him. And it focuses on how to manifest the life of Christ that you already have, because you're doing the good works he already prepared beforehand for you to walk in. So expecting you to refer to what he wrote, Paul said, by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, the Messiah, which in other generations was not made known to people. There you go. This is truly a revelation that just like, what? When it came about. This whole thing about the gospel and Jesus and what we know, it's different than what the Israelites expected. He says, which in other generations was not made known to people, as it has now been revealed to his set apart apostles and prophets in the Spirit, spiritual revelation. So, again, remember what it is. It's the summing up of all things in Christ. And that is the gemstone of Paul's apostolic revelation. The summation is Christ, in Christ. So, Paul also revealed a similar facet on the same gemstone. It's Christ in you. And so, everybody needs this existence. If your existence is not summed up in him, even Jewish people, their existence, then you and they are not saved. You're unsaved. That's the way it works. And so when we go to Colossians 1, 24 through 28, it's the parallel epistle. Paul used both terms together, Christ in you and you in Christ, in explaining the mystery. And listen to the common thread in the flow. Christ in you, you in Christ. Colossians 1, 24. Paul said this. He said, the mystery is Christ's body, which is the church. And he said, of this church, Christ's body, I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit. Sound familiar, right? Ephesians and Colossians are parallel epistles. But it's just cool to read both of them because you get much more depth of insight when you do this. Because the Colossian church was made up of Gentiles as well. So speaking to it as the body of Christ, here's what he says. So that I would fully carry out the preaching of the word of God, that is the mystery. You hear that? The word of God, that is the mystery. So the word of God that Paul preached is to be revealing the mystery. And he said this, which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his set apart people, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. So explaining that the preaching of the word of God is the mystery, Paul laid out this beautiful facet on the gemstone. And because he says next that it is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is literally one of my favorite, if not my favorite, verses in the Bible. So he's going on and on, and he says, this is what it is, the riches of the mystery, the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, us, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you see how important it is more about Christ than you? Amen. Yes. All right? But then he mentions that other facet, the term in Christ. So that's Christ in you. So he says next, verse 28, we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. There's no greater truth than this truth. And unfortunately for a lot of Christians, these basics, this foundation remains a mystery. But for us, to be wise, we take in the wisdom of God, and we know that the Jews are not the central focus of the Messianic kingdom. It should not be a mystery to you. God now makes people from every tongue, tribe, and nation to be his central focus in the big focus, which is Christ Jesus himself, who sits at the right hand of the Father. It's all about him. And the mystery of the body of Christ is that Christ fulfills all for salvation, for reconciliation, and for you being declared righteousness. He fulfills perfect obedience. He fulfills ultimate triumph. And he's the one that gives you the perfect identity by being in you and you being in him. It's all fulfillment. But here's the thing. This mystery truth shocks Jewish people and offends those who are not being led by the Spirit. Literally. They think you're just insane, man. Your salvation, in one sense, is a true surprise. It is. Mine too. And the way of understanding salvation is also a surprise. The promised Messiah, warrior king of the Jews, came and surprised Jews by coming to be the savior of the world. And he surprised everyone by doing it through personal sacrifice and resurrection from the dead. He unexpectedly established a newer and better covenant than the old Mosaic covenant engraved on stones. And this is it. So Paul gets precise about what he had briefly mentioned. And he said, to be specific, tune into this. So listen to this. Pray that the Lord will give you understanding. To be specific, Gentiles are fellow inheritors and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Messiah Jesus through the gospel. And the promise for you is more than you can possibly imagine. Your existence of being in Christ with Christ in you makes you co-inherit all the riches according to 1:11 and 14. You are sealed and secured as a part of this because, as 1:22 says, you are embedded into the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And so what does that mean about your existence? You are that all the time. You're always that. But the whole thing was a secret. Nobody had previously understood that the only way for anyone to be an inheritor is to be in Jesus, the firstborn heir, with Jesus, the firstborn heir in them. And so what Paul wrote in Galatians 3:14 took Jewish people by surprise. That in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham came to the Gentiles to receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Yeah, that's Galatians 3:14. The promise to Abraham. And now here in verse 7, Paul was, he's the one chosen to reveal all the secret for you. And God made him to be a minister then of this truth. So we listen, you think about this, as an unsaved Jew rounding up Christians to be killed, Paul is bringing himself to the forefront here. Paul originally thought that he was serving God, just like every other Jewish person. But he was really at war against God. And resurrected Jesus told Paul that he's persecuting him, resurrected Christ, the Messiah, and that in Paul's persecution of the church is how Paul was persecuting Christ. Now, how could resurrected Jesus say that persecuting someone like you, me, Christians, doing that persecution is like persecuting himself? How could he say that? Because the church is the body of Christ. And so Jesus standing up, talking secret mystery language when he blinded Saul on the road, who became Paul, the same Paul, who became a Christian, he knew that all the time because that's what he was experiencing in the mystery. It is the fullness of him who fills all in all, the church. But this was a mystery to unsaved Paul. So God moved and Paul became like you, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that Paul would walk in them. And so Christ, this is you too, by the way, that we would walk in them, but Christ, the artistic designer and the craftsman that we recognize in his wisdom, he made Paul into his prisoner. And Paul's special calling then was instituted in those moments. He was anointed to be the revealer of God's wisdom, which had been hidden in a mystery. So Paul says next in 3:8, to me, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. Grace is always something that's given. You know, you don't have to give it, but you give it. It has to be given to you. And your calling to be a servant is grace that is given to you. So Paul gets straight to his special grace calling next in verse 9. He says his job is to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ and bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things. Well, Paul's calling looked exactly like Acts 9:15-16. Resurrected Jesus said, Paul is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. The Lord declared that. I will show him how much he must suffer for my sake. And then in Acts 22:9, the Lord told Paul directly, go, and all that has been appointed for you to do will be told to you. And 22:21, the risen Lord said, go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. In his early moments of being saved, I want you to see how much of the mystery he was already having revealed to him in those moments. And 26:16-18, risen Jesus, he's got Paul blinded. He tells him, for this purpose I've appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things in which I will appear to you. And that's mystery revelation. And it did come. And then Jesus said this, I am sending you to the Jewish people and the Gentiles to open their eyes so that they will turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they will receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been set apart by faith in me. That's all mystery revelation in the first few moments of Saul's conversion that nobody else had. And he also got his ministry calling, his marching orders in those moments. So getting this mystery unveiled and Paul's appointment to preach what is revealed to the Gentiles, all of it started at his conversion. And Ephesians 3:10 gives you the big reason. Ephesians 3:10, and it says this: so that the manifold wisdom of God would now be made known through the church. So it's made through the church, which has you in it, okay, think of yourself, to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This is part of what's happening with you every moment you exist. And he says, this was in accordance with the eternal purpose that God carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. So it's all because God's glorifying himself through the wisdom, love, and his mystery plan revealed. But remember the theme. You are God's wisdom made manifest. You are part of it. And manifold wisdom means multifaceted. It means varied wisdom of God, okay? And in verses 20 to 21, Paul repeats God's big purpose for your existence. This is your existence in his plan. He said, to God be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. You are designed to be part of God's focus. You are designed to focus on God. And God expressed his wisdom and his creativity in making this whole universe, made our planet. And he put Adam and Eve here. And then they sinned and they fell. And there were generations upon generations and they sinned. They lived and they died. They were either under various covenants of God or they're outside covenants of God. And then came the new covenant that you are in. And in his eternal wisdom, he had always ordained for all of this to happen. The new covenant came in a mystery. And then came you in history. Here you are. And he saved you by this mystery wisdom. So there is manifold, varied layers in the wisdom of God. And the mystery truth back in 1:8-9 that you're expected to reference is that in all wisdom and insight, your God made known to you this mystery of his will. And he made it known to you according to his kind intention, which he purposed in Christ. It was always Christ's purpose, in which he looked forward to the outworking of it at the suitable timing for its fullness. You know what it is? It's the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. And that means anything you do on earth. Okay? Everything is to be summed up in Christ. Everything has a reason and a purpose. And what is going on right now is that God shows this through you. So you need to know yourself as a detail in his eternal plan. It is that connected. Christ in you and you in Christ is what he always wanted. And you are privileged to be part of it. Now think of your life as multifaceted wisdom of God manifest. And you show his wisdom to the rulers and to the authorities in the heavenly places. And so your job is to seek to display what you are. This is your calling. This is where you need to have your ambition, your want. Seek to display what you already are. You are called to show the manifold wisdom of God to everyone through your actions, through what you do. And so you know that you're born from Christ, right? The last Adam. And you know your lineage. You know who you are in him. So you know what your purpose is. You're a prisoner, but you know you come from him because he's in you and you are in him. So you're not like physical Israel. Ezra 2:62 is about people coming out of the Babylonian captivity. They're trying to return to Judah and to Jerusalem after the Babylonian Empire collapsed. And most of them said that they were descendants of Israel. Yet most could not trace their lineage anymore. They could only claim that they were descendants of Israel. And for the true priesthood of the old covenant to continue, the sons of the priest had to be able to trace their lineage. But over time, many of the sons of the priest, they had taken Gileadite wives. And eventually, the descendants of the priest could not verify that they were Levites. You had to be a Levite. And so Ezra 2:62 says this: these searched among their ancestral registration, but they could not be located. Therefore, they were considered unclean and excluded from the priesthood. And today, the same thing. No Israelite can trace their ancestry anymore either. So anybody that's in Israel that claims to be a priest of God, they don't know what they are or not. They can't find that. But we have a different connection, right? And yet the big problem of everyone is that they search through their ancestry and they find that they're all part of the body of the first Adam, unsaved in sin and death. That's everybody, all Jews, all Gentiles. But now with you in Christ, with Christ in you, God's wisdom is revealed. 1 Peter 2, 5 through 9 says that you are now part of God's set apart and royal kingly priesthood. Paul says that you've been transferred out of the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Well, the high priest is Jesus. Your citizenship is in the kingdom of Christ. Revelation 1:6 reveals more wisdom. In Christ, God made us into a kingdom and priest. Well, this is you. You exist as a huge part of God's focus and his expression of his manifold wisdom. You display it by living his word to manifest his life. And that's the calling. And the wicked forces all around you, they know this. They know who you are. They know you're different. I mean, did you know that Muslims call Christians the people of the book? They call us that. Atheists and liberals call us Bible believers. And the reason is because they see what we are. We are a demonstration of the wisdom of God. Every time you pray, you're a demonstration of the wisdom of God. Every time you stand for righteousness, you're demonstrating God's wisdom. And when you demonstrate the grace of the new covenant, you're demonstrating your rebirth. You demonstrate the seal of God's Spirit in you, right? Every time you decide to manifest the love of Christ and love others the way he loves you, like he says to do, he motivates you to do, you're demonstrating the wisdom of God. He's working in you. And what we are, what you are, what I am, is we're responsible for following his guidance in the Bible. We must be the people of the book. We must be the Bible believers. And so you exist as a demonstration of the wisdom of God in your spiritual family connection that goes beyond ethnic and national borders. It's a beautiful testimony all over the world, in every generation, that the members of the body of Christ blend instantly as soon as strangers meet. I mean, it's normal for Christians to meet for the first time. I've seen this all over the world. People in other cultures, tribal people in the middle of India, people down in Bolivia, over in Mexico, Tarahumara Christians. It's normal to meet a stranger and instantly, that's a Christian, and act like that we've known one another for years. Yeah. I mean, within seconds. Just act like we've known you for each other for years. Why is that? Because what comes naturally is there supernaturally. It's God's wisdom being shown. And when you die, you're going to resurrect in this connection to all these people according to God's wisdom. And it's going to be better because it's still going to be there. It's just going to be better. And you're going to recognize every Christian forever. You're going to just know who they are. And there's a lot of Christians that have been saved through history. But eternity is a long time. Try not to let daily life issues distract you from God's grand scheme of things. Amen. Your place in his wisdom. The world wants to distract you from recognizing yourself as the wisdom of God. Don't just keep thinking of yourself as a screw-up on one end, or so pridefully thinking of yourself as so successful on the other. Just think about Christ and go on. It's all about him. It's his wisdom. Now remember, you are created to be a demonstration of the many-layered wisdom of God to the world around you. So embrace your calling with gusto. Shine God's wisdom wherever you are. He designed you to do it. And recognize your importance in the church community. In 1 Corinthians 12, the Spirit says God placed you in the body, the church, by his own sovereign hand. It's interesting, right? Are you appreciating God's wisdom and hand in doing it? I don't know how he got you there, all the various details, but it's him. Are you appreciating God's wisdom and his hand in doing it? Your life in this world is very, very short, and you are God's wisdom forever. So embrace the way that God knows you with enthusiasm. Think of yourself like this right now. I am created in Christ, with Christ in me as a demonstration of the mystery revealed. I am a demonstration of the wisdom of God. So I think of ourselves, I think of myself, I need to act like it. I need to be the wisdom of God to my family, to my friends. If you're married, you need to be God's wisdom to your spouse, to strangers, to your children if you have children. If you are a Christian child, you need to be God's wisdom to your parents. Even people that you encounter when you're out and about, especially because you're shining the light for them. This is your calling. Amen?
Amen.
Let's do it.